In a world where every podcaster is lining up behind the velvet rope to be the first to review everything entertainment related, they'll all turn around to find the line cutters have already cut ahead.
Oh God.
Why?
Son of...
Stop.
Okay.
I'm sorry!
That's dumb.
Idiot!
Let me say that again.
That's not what I meant.
What are you saying?
It hurts.
No. 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 Wrong.
Can everyone shut up?
What?
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 And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Line Cutters.
Woo!
Yes, we are the Line Cutters, where we take internet arguments and put them into a convenient audio form. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, I'm doing okay. That's, you know.
Aw.
I'm doing great! Like, actually, no, I'm lying again. Like, I'm doing in between those two emotions of, and,
What? That was a strange noise.
Yeah, what was the second emotion?
What is, wow.
Yeah! That's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm in between those two emotions very quickly and... concisely.
That's very interesting.
Yep. Could be the season, could be a lot of the stuff we have on our docket today.
You don't want to talk about the stuff on our
docket?
No,
I do, but at the same time, some of the stuff, like everything we have on the docket today, I have such mixed feelings about that explains my emotions, like, entirely. Caught between joy and terrible anxiety.
I definitely want to help you sort out those feelings, Al.
Yeah.
And the first feelings I definitely want to sort out is the release of last week's surprise trailer.
Yeah.
For Batman v Superman. Now, just for those of you who haven't been following along too religiously with the show, we were pleasantly surprised by the second Batman v Superman trailer.
Yeah, it was pretty decent.
Yeah, it was. I was interested. You know what I mean? Like, I was still worried because Zack Snyder was directing and things were still, you know,
Zack,
like, Man of Steel was still bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I was pleasantly surprised. Like maybe they had learned a little bit from what they were doing and that could be better. Needless to say, my hopes have been dashed. this trailer was, oh man, mostly
a
awful.
Mini movie.
mostly awful, yeah.
I mean, at first, I'd like to think that it does that thing which is like a cardinal sin, but is super, super common in trailers these days.
Yeah.
And they are just showing the entire movie. It's like, here's act one, they meet. Here's act two, they fight. Here's act three, where the other super baddie comes out and they come together and they have to fight that thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's the movie. You just showed me the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, granted, we don't see how the last super baddie dies, but...
And we don't know how they resolve the conflict in Act 2, but...
We just know that they solved it.
Yeah, we know that they get along.
But, I mean, but is like, how they solve the conflict really that interesting? You know what I mean?
Probably not.
I mean, I guess, because if you think about it, like, we know that they're going to solve the conflict. They're the heroes of the story.
Yeah.
You know? And of course, we knew they were going to come together.
Hence the title Dawn of Justice. Yeah.
In the end. But, you know, how they come together, that thing that brings them together, that should have been interesting.
Yeah.
So we're going to go full on spoiler here if you've been avoiding the trailer.
Yeah.
Let's address this for 2 seconds. Mm. We have to call spoilers on movie trailers now. Like,
yeah.
How terrible is that?
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, this
warning, spoilers in your movie trailer.
This trailer not brought to you by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah. Who reveals nothing in his trailers. Not even what the movie's about.
Let me look up all these new words that suddenly popped up into this trailer. This one, it's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
So, I think, look, I'm going to say there's definitely one thing I didn't hate in this trailer. I kind of like Clark and Bruce's interaction in the beginning.
Yeah, the banter was pretty good.
Yeah, it's not terrible. There's a self-awareness between the two of them. I think they kind of know who each other are.
They're poking each other
at that point in the movie.
In the shoulder with a knife.
Yeah. But they're not willing to kind of give up their position.
Yeah.
And I think that was interesting. And that was all well and good until Lex Luthor showed up.
That's when the trailer falls apart.
Who is that actor?
What's his name? Jesse Eisenberg?
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah. I really hate him.
I actually...
As Luthor.
I wasn't even that, like... against, like, I think he had the wrong look for Luthor, but in the last trailer, despite the fact that the lines were a little weird, it felt menacing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I was scared of him, and that's what I want. I want Luthor to feel like he has presence.
Yeah.
And the lines he was delivering and the way he was delivering them in the last trailer, to me, spoke of presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Maybe the presence was a little off, you know, like, maybe with a twinge of, you know, like... Yeah, but that's okay. Like, I wasn't opposed to that as long as the presence was
there. I'm not opposed to Lex having a bit of tee-hee-hee to his, you know.
We've seen him have those moments before in the cartoon series and stuff like that, but...
Well, no, I wouldn't go as far as to say the cartoon series, but definitely in iterations of
No, but in the trailer that we saw,
all of the cringe. He just shows up and with his high-pitched voice... And is like, oh, hey, guys! Like, just sort of like, oh, how's everybody doing? Like,
can I get you soda? You okay?
There's this, they're definitely trying to reinvent Lex Luthor's character here, kind of the way they reinvented Lex Luthor back when they first turned him into the evil corporate businessman, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, the kind of I don't want to say the face of evil, but the face of certainly change in our current world are these young...
You could say the face of greed, at least.
Well, young, disrupting entrepreneurs who kind of come in and can change an entire industry just like by clicking their fingers, by creating an app or doing this or doing that. It's not inherently bad, but it's certainly scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that there might be an attempt to reinvent him in that way for this film, but I don't buy it. Like, particularly in today's day and age where the corporate businessman is still such a great, you know, like, moniker for villain. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't need to really reinvent Lex Luthor.
No, we didn't.
I mean, you're right. He was reinvented already. He was originally just some mad scientist. That was his shtick. And then they reinvented him into not just being a mad scientist, but one who was, like, essentially had the influence and the power of Donald Trump. And how apropos would it have been to have a character like that while Trump is off there trying to conquer the world as he is? I mean, it would have just been... I don't know. I felt like it would have been like poetry, to quote George Lucas. But it would have been far more interesting. Like, God, I feel like this is what happened. I feel like somewhere somebody with the casting director was sitting around and people were like, so who do they think we should have as Lex Luthor? I don't know, but the... There are a lot of words in the pipe, man. They want Heisenberg to do it. Heisenberg from Breaking Bad.
Heisenberg.
And somebody... they're like, exactly, Jesse Eisenberg, let's do it. It's like, and like, no, that's not what we meant.
No, there was an H in there. There was an H.
Like, and I feel like that's almost what happened here.
Look, I mean, I don't want to knock Jesse Eisenberg. I think he's a great actor. I think he's a really great actor.
He's a good actor. I hated him in this trailer.
I think it falls down from, again, you know, Zack Snyder really didn't prove to me that he got Superman or anything that Superman is about in Man of Steel. And I think that's just the same thing we're seeing here. What do we think about some of the rest of the stuff in the trailer? We got a lot of bunch of generic Batman Superman fighting.
Yeah,
there was some more stuff about I like the idea of he's like, I got to go out there, I got to do this, I got to fight for what I think is right, so on and so forth. And I like the idea that there is a moment in there where Superman's like, listen, I can end this now. I'm not. But
I feel like that takes on a whole different sort of context, right?
Yeah.
So we've, you know, like, if the Superman I know was saying that, it'd be like, you know, hey, look, I'm the good guy here. I don't go around doing that sort of thing.
Yeah. But that's what he sounded like in this. No. He didn't sound like he was threatening. He was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't know.
Can we stop? I could kill you.
I don't know. When
easily.
When you think about the way Superman was in the last film, I don't know. It takes on a whole different context.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Particularly, you've got these statues and the whole God worship kind of MO going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just, I don't know.
God dang, if I can't say I I kind of wanted that in this movie, because I definitely felt like that was an issue that I wanted a film to take on, was this idea of, okay, here is Superman, and Superman is what we would say is not God, but a God, as in like the definition of what
a type of deity.
He is Hercules, or he is like one of the Greek or Roman deities in the feats of strength and hold up the world and so on and so forth.
Cannot be killed. Ha ha.
That would be what we would see as a, like, and how would we as a people react? Like, have given a scientific explanation as to why he is what he is. Like, he's an alien, red, you know, yellow sunlight, so on and so forth. Like, then we have to sit there and be like, well, how do we feel about this? What if some people were not just accepting of the fact that, you know, mortal beings could have such power? Clearly he must be a god. And like, it would, there would be like some semblance of like anarchy to the idea. And people would have various different views on what, not just like how to treat him or anything like that, but what way to believe in him. I think that's what it would come down to. And I think a film like this could have handled that. It's not going to. I mean, this trailer proved that. But I like that idea of, like, there needed to be some people that were like, no, he's Superman. He's Jesus. I'm like, I know we have a lot of that in here in superhero movies these days nowadays, but I don't want symbolism. I want people treating the character like that, and I don't want symbolism. I want genuine characters in the film to be like, he's Jesus, and then be like, whoa, that's creepy. No, I'm not. That's really creeps. No.
I've seen how this idol worship turns out. No, I am not.
I guess that's an interesting concept. I definitely think there's I don't know. I think you might get a bit of that in this film. Yeah. I definitely think you're going to get a bit of that
in this
film.
Yeah, they kind of seem to brush past that. Like you said, they only kind of just like, oh, he's a guy.
There was a lot more of that in the first trailer. Yeah. We saw a lot more of that imagery, but since there were no words, I'm assuming that that imagery has some... Mm-hmm.
Context
to it. It's not just going to be just random, you know, Jesus savior imagery
random
thrown
Jesus.
In there for...
Yeah.
Good measure, although you never know.
It's Zack Snyder.
I'm really kind of sad we got Wonder Woman in this trailer.
I am too. I feel like they could have done so much better with her, but at the same time, like, you know, this might be the thing that saves it for me, but probably not.
I mean, she was in the second one. Like, she was,
but not like her in armor.
Yeah,
and,
Gail Gadot was in it, and she got out of the car, and she was like, she was acknowledging Bruce Wayne.
Hi, honey.
But that was about as far as it went. I mean, it's just like, I mean, this is an interesting bit of Wonder Woman where like they're getting. All right, well, before we get to Wonder Woman, I think we should probably get to like the big thing that like.
Apparently the third act of this film, you know, when they work together.
Yeah.
Is going to obviously happen. We all knew that. Let's not kid ourselves. We're not stupid.
Yeah.
You know.
It says Dawn of Justice. We got it.
We knew how this film was going to play out. We knew that there was obviously going to be a third entity. I assume we all thought it was going to be like Lex or something like
Snyder
that.
We knew Snyder wasn't going to go the way of just have one kill the other.
But we get, apparently, our first look at what is our third act villain, Zod.
Well, it's...
Not Zod.
It's Doomsday. Yeah. It, like, he's got spikes coming out of his shoulders. He's got an ugly face. He's
ugly.
Gray.
Hey! Have some respect. I just got here. I look dirty. I came from work. We're talking about Doomsday.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I was listening to you guys discuss the trailer. It's unfortunate.
It is. Yeah. It's
pretty, but it's unfortunate.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. All right, so the original... James, you and I were discussing this at some point. The last teaser trailer got us hopeful, right?
Yeah. There was a glimmer of something I wanted there.
Yeah, specifically what? What was it? It was the fact that Batman would live out all our like, angry fantasies about Man of Steel and how brutal and...
But it definitely felt that. Yeah,
it wasn't just that though. That to me takes on a meaning that the filmmakers, or at least somebody somewhere,
someone not Snyder,
saw the problems that the first film had and said, "Nope, we're going to address these head on."
Mm-hmm. Right. And the idea that I could watch a Batman versus Superman and root for Batman was interesting to me.
Yeah,
I really thought it was great. This movie kind of. This trailer, it wasn't a movie. It felt like
we
one.
Keep forgetting.
No, it was a movie.
Well, I'll say that So what did you had something to say? It was nice. It was good. It was a video game. Like, it was just like a bunch of special. It was
you
a
know,
special effects
honestly,
reel.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, the thing that probably would have saved it for me was Wonder Woman, but they have her at the end, and they literally just have her ex machina woman.
Yeah.
So,
I would see this movie, believe it or not, I would see this movie in the same way that I would see a friend's special effects reel. Like, he's like, I've been working on some things. I got Janice from accounting to dress up as Wonder Woman. She looks good. She does a good job.
It fits her nicely.
Ted is a believable Batman. I had to use my kid brother as Lex, but it's fine. It's fine. I would watch that film, but I would not pay money to go. I would not pay like $12 to see this.
Yeah,
movie.
I was actually happy to see. Oh, now I'm blanking on his name.
Lorenzo Lamas.
No, wow. Batman. Why am I blanking?
Ben Affleck.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh,
all right.
I was actually happy to see him as Batman.
No, he definitely looks from the opening scene of this trailer. I liked Ben Affleck as Batman.
I am still incredibly excited for the 2018 Ben Affleck directed and starred Batman movie. That'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm up for that. Go for it.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
But we have to suffer through at least two Zack Snyder movies to get there.
Yeah.
Oh. I can't believe this.
The realization just hit Frank.
Soured so much.
It did.
Like, it's weird. It's like I'm in a very neutral place where I'm like, I don't care enough about this, even though I really care about these characters. I just like, all right, whatever. You're gonna do what you do.
You do.
People
you.
Are gonna go crazy about the special effects of this.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's all this is gonna
be. And think about how much we've seen in this trailer already, and there are still rumors that the guy who plays the Flash and Jason Momoa, who's Aquaman, and
they're
all these other
movie.
People are apparently also going to have parts to play in this movie. It's all over the place.
This is what I'm assuming. I'm assuming everybody shows up to go fight Doomsday because that's a decent Justice League origin story. Fine,
except for the fact that the first time Superman did it by himself.
I'm saying that this is a decent enough origin story for if you're gonna pick a villain for the Justice League to fight. Doomsday is one of the big heavy hitters that not only gives you enough room to talk about all of the characters that would have to form a Justice League because you have essentially just a giant beat stick as your enemy, which is he's essentially just a force of nature. It's fine.
I have a better story for you, but continue.
I'm saying there are definitely better stories.
This is such a good one.
There are. I'm just saying if you're gonna form the Justice League, this isn't a bad way to pick how you're doing it. But I wouldn't have said let's start it off with a Batman v Superman half of the film and then finish it up with Dawn of Justice, World Taken on Doomsday. Like it's like. That's two movies in one movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's also weird that it's pretty much a couple of movies in one trailer. Like, we know all the... You know exactly what's happening. Lex pit Batman and Superman against each other, and then he overplays his hand and resurrects Zod as Doomsday, and then they're like, we should probably team up. Yeah, we should. I don't even know whose voices I'm doing. Both of those were supposed to be Wonder Woman. And they fight. I don't know what happens. Here's the better movie. Right?
Right. Go ahead.
All those heroes from DC join together to actually not fight a beat stick, but to play beat bop or some other like playground game. Like it's like a dance off. And it's the same kind of machismo and like, no, my team's going to be better than your team. It's the Flyers versus the not Flyers or something. I don't know. But like, it's just a dance off. Just Justice League dance off. You tell me that movie wouldn't make it. That movie would make $1 billion.
I would see that movie.
I would see the hell out of that movie. Because who wouldn't? Who at this point still needs to be sold on superhero movies?
Those who
I
have
think
no
Guardians
idea
of
what
the
they
Galaxy
are.
Landed. It was like, all right, that's it. We're done. We will watch anything that's superhero.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And it was a good movie, so that's like unfair to say of Guardians of the Galaxy. But like premise alone, you don't have to be like, oh man, we want to do a story with Doomsday, but no one's going to believe another alien being lands on Earth. That's just, we got to tie it into the first movie or else people are just going to be like, I can't handle it. It was just like needlessly complicating, messing up.
And it just seems so counterproductive. Like, I just don't understand why we couldn't just have, you know, you wanted a Justice League movie, just give us a Justice League movie. Like, am I crazy to think that these characters are iconic enough that people would be able to go and see them and be like, ah, I think I know who these people are.
Yeah.
I think I know these archetypes.
The animated films do this, like, fantastically.
Yeah, they do.
And it's the same mentality they're using with Suicide Squad. They're not developing a background for every single one of those
and
villains.
That's where you might need it. Like, I don't even know 50% of that cast.
Yeah, I don't either.
Vaguely, like, their characters, I don't understand.
Like, one of them is Will Smith, that's all I know.
And here's the most frustrating part is nobody gives a crap about what we're talking about. We're making a podcast no one's going to listen to or people are shaking their fist at because the movie made all the money. Like, it made so much money. And this movie will also make all, like, I'm talking about Man of Steel. And this movie will also make more, because a lot of people will just be like, that looked cool. And I can't see they're wrong.
Yeah.
It looked cool. It's just like, it's, and this is where you start to get, like, very close to being, like, the fake geek and the gatekeeper of geekdom, that kind of person, who's like, well, stop making our stuff. Like, I really care about Batman versus Superman. Don't make a garbage Batman versus Superman that looks good that the majority will enjoy.
But I you know, as a film person, there's, I think, a difference here between a good movie and a not good movie.
No, I think you're right.
I can go, I'm not somebody who thinks Man of Steel is objectively a good movie and not a Superman movie. No, it has fundamental storytelling problems from any perspective. You know, and I can't imagine Batman Superman is going to be any different.
No, but that's my point exactly, is it has a lot of problems, but it was cool. So let's go spend money on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, yeah, I think you can make the quick buck that way, but I in a weird way, I think this...
I'm gagging on the idea that it was cool.
I mean, but the staying power is definitely on Marvel's side in this. Like, if we're going to look for a good example on that, like, and I think there's a reason why they can make decent films. Is because they know that if they continue to make good films, then those franchises will stick around. Well, I feel like you could burn out on this. I definitely feel like people could be like, man,
no more superhero movies. Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like that's coming no matter what. I think I don't think Marvel's immune to it. In fact, I think Marvel is also
probably gonna suffer
guilty
for it.
Of
yeah.
it.
He's pushing it.
Well, so. And Marvel's been trying to head off that curve as much as possible. They don't sell their films as superhero films. They sell them as other films. Ant-Man's a heist movie. Civil War and you know, Winter Soldier are political dramas. They're already trying to distance themselves from that because they know we've already hit kind of like market cap there, particularly with, you know, DC going to be pumping out as many movies as them.
Right.
And I think that's a good idea. And again, I think it's one of the reasons why Marvel says, let's make, you know, decent films. And Warner Brothers has apparently said, let's have, you know, explosions and, you know, people like, you know.
People are upset. They're upset at the fact that they're superpowers.
Yeah.
It's going to be anger and then an explosion.
Yeah, we got this.
Anger.
Anger and explosion.
Movie made. Got it. Let's go.
This stuff sells.
All right.
I can't talk about this anymore.
No, I can't
Speaking
either.
Speaking of anger and explosions,
burnt out.
Luke and the Death Star.
Let's talk about something happy. Can we talk about something happy?
Sure. Yay.
So it has been Star Wars month here at Nonproductive and the rest of the world because The Force Awakens comes out in like a week.
Right.
Wow, we're at a week now.
Yeah, I really
little over.
That.
Well,
yeah.
I know. I guess it's Wednesday. No, it's tomorrow fine. It'll be like a week.
Yep.
So, I don't know about you guys, but happy moment for me is when I found out Star Wars was a thing.
Oh, you're
That's
talking
a happy
about
moment
not,
for
not
me.
the latest Star Wars, when you first found out Star Wars was
yes.
a thing. Yes. And we've been talking about this for a while. What is your first Star Wars experience, James?
You know,
Line Cutters on non-productive.com. I had a feeling someone was sampling this. I don't know.
I guess my first really, I didn't have any like real strong experience with Star Wars, you know, prior to ever actually seeing Star Wars.
Right.
I guess I had a similar experience where I guess I definitely had to have seen it referenced in things and culture. But when they did the re-releases of the special editions in theaters,
wow,
my dad was like, there's this thing I need you to see.
Huh.
And I said, sure, Dad, what is it? And he's like, why haven't like, I feel like I've seen this on your shelf. Why haven't we watched it before? He's like, because this is the way we should see it, son.
Afterwards, he go say this was not the way you should have seen it, son.
No, I think he relatively enjoyed it. Obviously, yeah. There were changes to the special editions, but it was still neat.
The first one didn't have that many bad.
The first time I saw Star Wars was in theaters, and it I think it definitely. Really isn't created a love for me to go see movies in theaters. I like seeing movies in theaters. I think that's a great way to see movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think Star Wars is a big part of that. And it was just the coolest thing ever. And it was really cool because they came out like just like 2 months apart from each other. So I didn't have to wait like a really long time.
Like waiting period.
But my
for
dad
a kid.
Definitely wouldn't let me watch them on VHS. He was, I'm like, oh, can we watch the next one? He's like, no, you have to wait. He's like, I waited years for these.
You have to too.
Yeah, I do enjoy hearing people's stories about how they were first introduced with Star Wars. Depending on what generation you are, you have like vastly different stories. Like most people who are in their 20s have stories about being forced to watch it by their parents.
Yeah.
Whereas people in like their 30s and 40s are like, yeah, I snuck out to watch this or something along those lines.
Yeah.
So, Al, what about you?
My first experience with Star Wars was actually when I was very young and watching the Muppet Babies cartoon.
Al and I have the same experience.
because like that was where I first sort of like, because for whatever reason, I guess because Star Wars ruled the world at that point when that show was made.
Really
they
did.
Just sampled so much of those movies. And
there was a lot of clips, like full clips were used in... Mm-hmm. In Muppet Babies, like live action clips in the
and
middle
so
of this.
That's kind
of
how I learned what
was
Star
Wars.
No, it wasn't live action.
Oh, no, it was animated.
It was a cartoon. Yeah.
No, I mean, I know Muppet Babies.
Oh, yeah,
it
was all live action Star Wars
the
stuff.
The clips were like, yeah, it was very weird.
It was very,
overlapped each other. Yeah.
Yep. But it was so strange because like, it was always like referencing like this movie that I'd never seen, but it felt like I had because I saw so many scenes. The droids were there. Yoda was there. Mm-hmm. Like the pig guy from Return of the Jedi showed up every once in a while.
Never played by Miss Piggy was a missed opportunity.
I agree completely. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I knew Darth Vader was Luke's father. Like that was just the thing.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like knowing the major plot
but
point
it was
the
a joke.
Second movie.
But it was a joke because that was just the thing they shticked in that show, like I am your father, and like that's how I learned about it because like it was a joke. But like when I asked my dad, like, Dad, what is this? I want to watch it. And like I had gotten to be, I think it was about 10 or 11, and I sat down and watched the first.
I'm proud of you, son.
And I sat down and I watched the first movie because I just wanted to know what it was like. We had it on VHS. I liked it. It was great. It was fantastic. And I went and watched the second one. I'm like, oh, this is boring. And then I went and watched, like, and I
awful,
watched.
Awful
I know. Person. I know. I have so 180'd on that freaking movie right now. But from when I was younger, I would legitimately watch the first one, skip Empire Strikes Back, and go straight to Return of the Jedi sometimes when I watch the trilogy.
What's wrong with you?
When I was a kid, that was I loved Return of the Jedi. And I will say this about Return of the Jedi when I watched it. When I watched Return of the Jedi, that scene with Luke and the Emperor felt like it went on for hours. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in the best way ever. Because I was there. I felt every moment he looked over and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Like, and I will never forget that feeling of tension because I think that was the first time when I watched movies when I felt that I felt that way because I was so there with that character. I was like sweating bullets just like, oh crap! What's gonna happen here? Is gonna kill him? Is Vader gonna kill him? Like, because I'm a kid. I don't know that good guys win. Like, so it's. But it was great. I mean, it's and I lucked out because that was when the Micro Machines line came out for Star Wars, and I got so into that.
Got all the Legos.
It was it was terrible. Just absolutely awful. But that was my first experience with Star Wars.
That's pretty cool. And yours was pretty similar?
Mine was pretty similar, yeah, because I was a little bit younger than Al, so Muppet Babies was a little bit more influential for me. But I remember they did like a couple of episodes just dedicated to doing a parody of Star Wars, and I remember R2-D2 being used as a trash can constantly.
Yeah. It's
classic joke.
It's fascinating to me to hear people who know the references before they saw the source material.
Yeah, looking back on that, I'm like, oh, why didn't I find that funnier? Like, when I was,
because
I remember
it looked like a trash can.
Yeah, I remember watching. I was like, oh, is it just a trash can that moves?
Well, even like any of it, any of the things that are just referencing a movie you've never seen, like, imagine that today. Imagine watching a TV show that made constant references to another media thing that you've never seen. And just sitting there going, like, yep, I could absorb this for some reason. Sure, it's happening.
Technically,
all the time.
People do that with Archer. Like, they have never seen, there are people that watch Archer that have never seen a James Bond film.
Oh, all right. That's kind of interesting. Missing most of the. And but the thing is, with Archer, it's a style parody.
Yeah.
It would be one thing to say, I didn't see Star Wars, but they're making fun of space operas. You know, I get it.
I'm going
to
say, I know tons of people who saw the Austin Powers movies and never saw James Bond.
When again, I was a kid, I did that, yeah.
Again, we're talking about specifically style parodies.
True. I don't know. There you was a lot of direct parody stuff in the Austin Powers.
You can miss most of those things and still kind of
and
be
also,
like,
Austin Powers doesn't just reference James Bond. He references, like, a lot of the other, like, British spies.
Right. Movie. And it's inherently funny. But when somebody just, like, talks about Luke, I am your father, and you don't even know the line, that what that means or what that reference is.
When I first saw the movie and I saw that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Because I was still a kid. I was like, I didn't,
And it,
you know?
I think it would be hard, actually. I would assume it was pretty hard to find a lot of people who don't, especially now. Because now the youngins would, of course,
I'm going to Google it.
Beyond that, they see it's on TV all the time.
And not that, but there's the prequels.
And the prequel movies were only recently in the theaters, so it's weird.
A lot of them also grew up with the first things they'll be seeing are things like Star Wars Rebels, or before that, the Clone Wars TV series. That's their introduction to Star Wars.
Yeah. Right.
You know, Star Wars has just such a bigger presence, you know.
So yeah. I'm older than most of you and dirt, but so my memory of, and this is like, that's exaggeration because there are people who are going to be listening to this going like, yeah, I brought a date to see it in theaters. Shut up. But no, I didn't see it in theaters in the original run. And at the time when I was young, there weren't a lot of like video stores. Those weren't really an option. Like, there was very little home video
before there was a Blockbuster.
Yeah, you didn't really have a Blockbuster, or if you had a Blockbuster, it predated a time when copies of Star Wars was available.
Ooh, dark
like,
times.
You didn't necessarily if you didn't see a movie in theaters, you weren't guaranteed to get a copy of it at home in a few months.
Right.
So I had not seen the original Star Wars movie. I didn't see Empire Strikes Back, and I think Return of the Jedi probably hadn't come out yet. And I was aware of it from my friend's toys. So I had friends and like older cousins and things that would have toys from the movie, and I had no idea what these things were. It was obvious in some cases that they were related to each other. They're all part of the same line. Although sometimes I remember distinctly the box of toys I played with when I was younger, there were like other characters from other toy lines just thrown in there because they kind of fit. It was fine. Like, I forgot the names of all of them now. None of them have really lasted. But, and then imagine having all these set pieces and these toys from this franchise, literally knowing nothing about it, and not having the ability to find out anything about it. Because unlike you folks who had parents who enjoyed it in their time, those two.
Yeah, yeah.
I had none. They had no idea what these things were. They weren't going to explain it to me. They didn't know.
Yeah, right. Same for
so
mine.
So I had to piece it together, and I actually made up my own stories for what was going on with these characters.
Do you remember?
So my original, like vaguely, my original experience with it was based on toys and reverse engineering the story. Based on like things you could read on the boxes, if you happen to have a box, and just like, you know, little cards that came with them or nothing, just what they look like.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this, Max Weebo, the guy who runs the band in Jabba's Palace, the elephant-headed guy who's in the, he was a much more important character in my version of Star Wars. I remember that character for whatever reason. His look was very distinctive. And Yoda with the snake, those snakes, there was some Master of the Universe stuff going on with the snake and Yoda, and I'm not entirely sure he was a good guy.
With Yoda?
Yeah, there was a little snake.
Now, my wife just messaged us in. She said that one of the funny things about Al and my stories is that we have big connections to our fathers with Star Wars. But for her first experience with Star Wars was learning that her mother was trying to publish a Star Wars encyclopedia to get a Star Wars encyclopedia published back when she was a kid.
Katie, you just gained like 100 awesome nerd points there.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
But yeah, Katie's mother is just obsessed with Star Wars. She loves Star Wars. So her introduction was through her mother, which, I mean, is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. That was kind of similar to mine. It wasn't my mom, because neither my parents knew it. Like, they were so non-geek, it's painful. But it was with my best friend's mother. She was, like, phenomenal. Like, her nerd level, like, surpasses anybody's.
Right.
So I found it all out through them, and I was actually able to see all the movies through them.
That's really neat. That is very neat. I want to read Katie's mother's version of the Star Wars Encyclopedia. I think she's got some behind-the-scenes details. I will publish that.
Right.
I will pay money to have that published.
It's probably closer to canon now than it was 5 years ago, because...
It doesn't have any expanded universe
Definitely.
In it.
Yeah. And it's probably also very closer to... Like, original. Like, when you sent it, like, they built so much around it that you kind of lose certain aspects. Like, for example, the fact that Sith are a thing. Like, it's now baked into core of Star Wars, even though
it wasn't part of it. For a while, you just called them Dark Jedi.
Where are they? What?
Okay. Yeah. So that was interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm curious about something else. Like, I mean, if we can expand on this topic for a little bit. I'm curious what our I guess all of us here... With any of our experiences with the prequels, as far as like, I don't want to sit here and rag on the prequels. I feel like that's done to death. Let's not do that. But I feel like there is an experience to be had there as well, as far as when we first sort of decided, like, what was our, because we're about to enter into having a new Star Wars movie, and the hype is very different from when it was back then.
Right.
And I want to know what everyone was like when they heard there's a new Star Wars coming out.
When Phantom Menace, was suggested.
Yep.
We could hold off on that one as the ultimate story, but I would say that, again, being older, I anticipated it strongly, but the special editions had been released and people were already a little iffy about the additions to the special edition, specifically the amount of crap shoved in and some of the plot elements that had changed. So I think people were a little wary when it first came out, and I guess there was it was a more naive time, so people were really, really hopeful. And I feel like now people are perhaps a little bit more in check. But more importantly, I think production companies are a little bit better at hitting the things that people are hopeful for.
Right.
I think J.J. Abrams will provide a more enjoyable film because of all the lessons we've learned from the major... blockbuster kind of snafus that have happened.
I mean, I remember being young enough, obviously, to be very excited, and remember my first experience with Star Wars was the special editions. So I really, not until I got much older, did I even know that there were major changes to these movies. So I remember going to see the first Star Wars, being very excited to go see it, and actually enjoying it when as a kid.
Yeah,
I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
If you don't know any better.
I don't mean that backhandedly. Like, if you don't know any better about it, then, like, you go into that movie, it's still fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's still kind of a backhanded slap.
A level of knowing that could actually step in and tell you, wait a minute, this is not that fantastic. How about you two?
Feelings? I'd never seen any of the movies, you know, at the theaters. So for me, this is new for me. This will be my first
experience with the Star
actually
Wars film.
Seeing it, you know, with a group of people that are so into it. But I'm going in, like, airing the side of caution because it was bought out by Disney.
You're talking about the next movie?
Yeah, but like, back when the prequels came out, like, what was
When the prequels came out again, like, I was in a house that, you know, was so non-sci-fi, like, there was no buzz about it. It wasn't until, like, my friend and her mom came back from the theater that they were buzzing about it. And I'm like, what are we talking about?
I could say, like, honestly,
I remember seeing the trailers and, like, the commercials for it, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things where, like, it was a movie that we didn't see a lot of as far as trailers went. Even less so, I think, than what Abrams has given us in these things.
I mean, you get the standard three and then a bunch of TV spots. That hasn't really changed in the past couple of decades.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was certainly something that had caught my attention because it was... I had lucked into getting into Star Wars at that age and building up that fandom and being so into it, like, and like to the point where I'm like, Shadows of the Empire, I gotta start reading that, and like just like all this stuff about it, and like then like it was as if the world had contorted to where I was at that time, like, hey,
by force of will alone, yeah, Al, like, made them do Phantom Menace.
Yeah, really, there you go.
Like, it's your fault.
Sometimes I feel like it was, but like it felt like as I had gotten into it, like, hey, special edition movies, like, wow, this is so convenient, and then all of a sudden, like, new movie, like, wow, this is so convenient. Like, and I remember the hype and people waiting like days in line to go see this movie, and me like just going into my local theater that nobody went to and watching it there. That theater's not even around anymore. But to an almost empty theater opening night for this film, and it was an indescribable feeling, that whole like build up, that whole tension of like, I could not wait for this movie to happen. Like, no part of me was not excited. Like, I just wanted this movie. And I was satisfied with it when I saw it, but I was young.
I think it's interesting to see how that changed with me throughout the evolution of the prequels as I got older and the movies kept coming out. So the second one, Attack of the Clones, is the only Star Wars I went to see at midnight release. I was old enough to go to midnight release. I was old enough to go with my best friend, Chris, who was also super into Star Wars. Like, that was one of the things we always did together, was anything Star Wars, and some other friends. And, you know, like, I could be trusted to do that. Boy, I remember not being impressed. I remember being at that. It's the first
by
time.
Second movie, yep. You're already like,
by
yep.
The first time, I was less impressed. I liked what I saw. I still like, oh man, Jango Fett was cool. This was cool. This was cool. This was cool.
Yeah.
But I remember being unimpressed. Like, I definitely had seen The Phantom Menace in theaters a couple of times. I went to see Clone Wars once more after that. And I don't think I'd really watched it after I saw it in theaters. I didn't own it. I never bothered watching it afterwards. And then by the time we got to Revenge of the Sith, I think I went a couple of weeks later with just a friend who was casually into Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I actually liked Revenge of the Sith. But, you know, it was so weird how I had mellowed. You know, and I still love Star Wars. I could watch the originals anytime, yeah. But I couldn't rush to the theater to see Revenge.
I gotta agree with you on this one. Like, I had the almost exact same experience. Like, with Phantom Menace, for whatever reason, for a kid, it was great. I mean, I was young and I thought everything in it was awesome. I've watched that movie I don't know how many times, but same experience. When I went to go see Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, I walked out of the theater and I was like, well, something feels wrong. Like,
when you became a man, like, all of your experiences of becoming a man.
Yeah, like, I genuinely, this is how into Star Wars I was, like, something's wrong with me. Like, yeah. I have to be the problem. Star Wars can't be the problem. I'm the problem. Aww, something's wrong with me. Boy. Like, there's a reason I'm not enjoying this. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I picture a young Al going into the restroom, punching the mirror.
What's wrong with me?
What you become? I remember the second movie specifically that everybody was like, early internet, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't even know how we shared this information.
Yeah,
but we complained loudly that what's it? Attack of the Clones was a ridiculous sounding name. I guess it was on it? Forums. Oh, Attack of the Clones.
I guess, yeah.
Sounds stupid. That was what people were. That was the thing people were complaining about. But we transitioned into complaining, which we did not want to do.
No,
we talked about our first experiences with Star Wars. I think that's pretty cool. You're actually doing an interesting experiment that I'd like to plug at this point.
Yeah, yeah. So my wife and I, and then last night with guest star AJ, have been rewatching
the third part of your relationship. This is a whole other conversation.
Yep.
That means to happen off mic.
We decided we were going to watch every Star Wars in a George Lucas and intended order with George Lucas intended canon. So we're watching all of the re-releases 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And it's been really interesting. I mean, we've been doing recordings of our sessions, and we're doing what we're call Star Wars fast forwards, which is going to be really interesting. But it's I mean, just for general thoughts, it's been a really interesting to rewatch and kind of see what worked in the movies, what didn't, where kind of like you're most hopeful and yet most dashed, and which films actually kind of end up being pretty good. You know, I'm going to tell you, Phantom Menace, not as bad as you remember. Attack of the Clones, worse than you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and Revenge of the Sith, I mean, it's the best. It's definitely the best of the prequels. It's not any of the original trilogy level, but it's certainly, that's the stuff you want to see. And unlike Attack of the Clones, where there's all the stuff you also want to see in it, and it fails, in, you know, Revenge of the Sith, it kind of hits the marks you need it to hit. Maybe not all the ones you want it to hit, but just enough to keep you satisfied. So it's... They're interesting. We'll be watching A New Hope on tomorrow, and then it's just Empire and Jedi after that, and then on to the new movie.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing. It's
well said.
No, I mean it's
that's the opening crawl. That's the opening crawl for Force Awakens. Sigh.
This
it goes
is a
for
thing.
A couple of seconds. It's a thing. I would be wrapped after that point. If they were just like every cast member on that movie was just like, oh, we're here. I can't believe it.
It'd be way easier to eat than the usual crawl.
And it ends with, just so you know, Disney will be making Star Wars movies long after you die. You will die before you see the last Star Wars movie.
I don't know about that.
Congratulations, completionists.
I don't know actually about that one.
Like, that'll be their plan.
That's their plan, but I'm going to tell you what.
They said the same thing about the love bug.
Well, they never said that about the love bug.
Well, they tried to make, I mean, they made like four love bug movies, for God's sake.
How many original love bug movies? How old do you think I am?
Well.
Sorry. All right. But no, seriously. I really feel like eventually like Disney will like go the way of like so many things. Like, we need a break from this. Like, I genuinely...
For a second, I thought you were going to say Disney is going to go the way of... you. And I'm like, Al, you are delusional if you think Disney is going anywhere.
No! Disney is an empire. It will be here forever. Unless the world goes up. Disney should be here. It's like the cockroach. But, but honestly, I feel like eventually they're going to be like, once a year, like, I think they probably more than likely will have to say at some point, the audience needs a break from this, or else we're not going
to,
like...
Once a year, if they keep it to once a year, we'll never get tired of it. I mean, you see, we get two Marvel films a year, one DC film a year, they're going to be two, so four major temple superhero movies
a
year.
And what did we just talk about with superhero films?
Like, we're over 15 years in, and we haven't stopped being tired of it yet, so.
All right, never mind, maybe
what's the next batch of Star Wars movies do you want to see?
Star Wars movies?
Yeah. I'd like to see ones that are really experimental.
Yeah.
Like like a Seven Samurai Star Wars. Like Jedi on a planet, the ship's broken.
I was about to say, now you lost me.
And they just want to fight their way out with just their sabers. Like a sword fighting Jedi movie. Or a Western, not like a space Western, like where it's, you know, vague and you, until you're in a film class, you're like, oh, I never realized it is a Western, but like flat out Western.
Yeah.
Like, I think you can do that with certain franchises, and I like it when they get to the point when they can do that with Star Wars.
I mean, I said this kind of when Disney bought Star Wars, you know, Disney in and of itself has ruined the public domain. So by Disney buying Star Wars, it's the closest thing we will ever get to having a bunch of people being able to make Star Wars movies. And I think, you know, that the right directors are going to be able to step into the right chairs. I mean, even with the Han Solo movie that they're talking about, you know, at first I'm like, oh, I'm not really interested in some sort of Han Solo origin movie until, oh my gosh, the guys behind the Lego movie are making it. The guys behind 21 Jump Street are making it.
Wait,
they? Yes.
Am not interested.
Yeah, I went the opposite way.
They are incredibly talented and they are fun. And that's what I want from a Han Solo movie.
Yeah, I don't
want
a tragic beginning of Han Solo's life. I want it.
Exactly.
Star Lord Adventures film,
yeah.
Really.
Han Solo's a fun character, and his movie
Baby
should
Chewy.
Be fun. You know?
Yeah, Baby Chewie.
I want Baby Chewie.
And I feel like those are people that we'll get that we don't need. We don't. What made Star Wars good wasn't everything being explained. No, if you're going to make a Han Solo film, I just want to see a Han Solo adventure. You know what I mean? Just that's what Star Wars is about. Don't over-explain it.
Spielberg.
Don't
set in the 1920s.
Don't over-explain it.
Han
don't.
Has a whip.
Oh jeez.
Where are you going with this?
Nowhere.
But yeah, I think totally. I think we're going to see some amazing people be able to step into the role of doing Star Wars.
I'm definitely interested in whether it was a Rogue One they're coming out with, which is the sort of Star Wars like really hardcore war film they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm interested to see where that goes, because like that's a side of this. Like, normally when we see Star Wars, especially during, you know, the original trilogy, it was really high flying adventure space opera. It wasn't like we weren't grunts in the machine of the Republic, or the Rebellion rather, like trying to make things work as we were watching our friends die around us by laser fire. But that's my big thing, is we haven't had any movie do that with laser fire. Like, I can't think of a single science fiction film that had war depicted as a war film that had lasers. Like, when was that? When did we have that?
I feel like lasers is a very specific caveat here for this category.
I'm sorry, I tuned out. What the hell? why is laser so important to you and your...
Because we've never had a science... I'm feeling like we haven't had a science fiction war film. Like, a real science fiction war film. Like, when has that happened?
I mean,
you're talking about movies.
Yeah. Like, what do we have? Starship Troopers, kinda, sorta, not really?
No, I definitely think Starship Troopers is a science fiction war film. But it's several years old. We've had those.
When? I don't remember. When were there lasers and spaceships?
See, the lasers is the strange caveat here for me.
Yeah, they've existed, but they're not super serious. It's hard to do war film that doesn't become like adventure film.
Yeah, well, that's what I
once
meant.
Once you're in space,
yeah,
shooting lasers.
Yeah,
you gotta give him this. He's gonna go crazy.
But you get what I mean.
There's tons of sci-fi war films.
But Old Man's War would be a great movie to make.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
We kind of lost track of what we were saying.
But you get what I mean. Like, when has there ever been a science fiction film that's really, like, where is our Saving Private Ryan in space? Like, I don't think we've had that. And if Rogue One's trying to go that route, I think it's going to be kind of the first of its kind.
No, we have not had that. And it's weird because it is a legitimate franchise or genre, I guess, or subgenre in other sources. It's not
especially
to say,
in novels.
You can't just say like, oh, well, you know, if you're going to save Private Ryan, you want to save someone who could look like a real thing, you want verisimilitude. You want somebody who actually, this is a real war that happened. Why waste your efforts putting the fantasy in there?
Yeah,
but that's literally not true in fiction, in novels and games.
Yeah,
that is a.
Consistently, well, a thing. Yeah,
it's a source of material, but you don't see a lot of that in film.
And I'm interested to see what they're going to do with this. If this is their big thing, like, no, we are making a...
Kurt Russell in... It wasn't Gladiator.
No, it was Universal Soldier?
No. The Universal Soldier would be an interesting one, although it's mostly on Earth. Kurt Russell is a fighter man. Something
old
like that.
Snake, something like that.
No, he's not Old Snake. You would remember that. Remember Kurt Russell played that rapidly popular. Hey, what was that Kurt Russell movie? Everybody in the internet yell at it.
I don't know. All I can think of is Escape from New York, the Down Periscope.
It's Soldier.
Oh, Soldier.
So the Kurt Russell movie where he was a space soldier was Soldier.
There we go.
I knew it was one word. I was thinking it was Gladiator. But yeah, in that, he was definitely. You know, he's a soldier, he's a war veteran, he's kind of been manipulated by the forces that created him.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's one of the few I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I feel like it's, I'm just interested to see where they're going to go with it. I mean, Lindsay, what kind of a film would you essentially really want them to see? If we're going to have these things like once a year.
Like, what, with Star Wars?
Yeah.
Again, you're talking to the culture nut here. I want to see more of, you know, the areas and the other planets that we don't normally get to see. I want to see more of like the wildlife and stuff like that.
Oh,
because looking in the books, they're phenomenal looking.
Can we do a Star Wars nature documentary spoof? Can that happen?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a famous documentary maker who was still alive who would make the Chewbacca movie.
The Chewbacca movie.
Ken Burns?
Disney, make it.
He's not much of a nature documentary maker.
No, he's more of a war documentary.
Really, the way she was describing that, I was thinking like Lion King, but in space.
I honestly can't remember. No, that's not how it works. Oh. That's not what animals... Is that what you think animals are like out in the real world?
They have hierarchy.
Yeah, they have musical numbers.
And they can't wait to be king.
The guy who plays... Oh, God. I'm sorry.
I broke Frank.
Jean-Jacques Annaud. Annaud? Who directed... I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie The Bear.
Yes.
It's a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah. Doesn't the bear die?
Spoiler alert, I'm not telling you. That may or may not be true.
I honestly don't remember. That's yeah. what I'm asking.
So anyways, it's a very good movie. It's not a documentary at all, but it's a film, like very little dialogue in the film. It's just this like bear cub in the wild. I would watch the hell out of a Chewbacca origin story.
Yes, where he's
just like a pup and he's trying to survive.
Baby Chewie.
And there's like, there could be Chewbacca talking, but no subtitles. Just the hell with your subtitles.
You know, just not every 2 seconds.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'm watching that movie. All right, I'm going to crowdfund this movie. All
right, well,
Chewbacca to Wookiee.
Disney, I hope you are listening. We'll take checks in the mail for the ideas. We don't need like constant funding or anything.
We're trademarking the puppy Chewy.
Puppy Chewy, is that the name of your movie, Al? Anyway, we'd like to thank you for joining us here at the Line Cutters. We've only one show left before Star Wars comes out, and then we'll be talking about the movie instead of talking about how excited we are for the movie.
Right.
And so, everybody, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Al.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah.
I'm James.
Glad you remember, James.
And I'm Cappy.
No, you're not.
What? You've been here the whole time? What's the point? Oh, God, that was shocking.
Anyway. All right. Good night, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Oh, damn it. I thought I was Al.
No, I'm Al. Good night, everybody.
Again.
We're tired.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.